Congress has put the onus on federal contractors to make sure they are not including counterfeit or obsolete parts in equipment they sell to the government. Now, that law was passed in 2012, but only now has the Federal Acquisition Council come out with a proposed rule. It requires contractors to report counterfeits, suspected counterfeits, and anything they suspect of being non-conforming. The proposed rule covers primes, subcontractors, and subs to subs all down the line. Well, what do contractors think about it? We're going to get one view now from Alan Shavatkin. He is Executive VP and Counsel to the Professional Services Council. Alan, good morning.
Good morning, Emily.
So, Alan, just start by giving us your bottom line. How do you read this Federal Acquisition Regulation rule?
It's a significant expansion beyond what Congress has already mandated. However, counterfeit parts, non-conforming parts, is a legitimate and real issue for both the government and the contractor community. There has to be a better way to develop a rule that shares responsibility and burdens than we have today.
Now, of course, you represent contractors who are mainly in the service as opposed to the manufacturing business, but it sounds like it would affect your people because so much of this equipment is delivered by service providers.
That's right. And the rule is very explicit that services that include supplies delivered to the government are going to be covered by this non-conforming rule.
So explain a little bit about what your members will have to do differently under this.
Well, we've had a long-standing, and the government has had long-standing rules regarding non-conforming parts. The government can accept them as they are, or they can require the company to correct the parts back to the standards in the contract. What this rule does, though, is, first of all, as you said in your opening, it covers not only electronic parts, but all non-conforming parts, including critical non-conforming parts. It covers everybody in the supply chain. My analogy is under the Defense Department Authorization Act that was passed in 2012, that covered only electronic parts, only for the Department of Defense, and only for those companies that are covered by the cost accounting standards. Relatively small group. This rule covers not just electronic parts, but all parts. Not only DOD, but all federal agencies. Not only those contractors covered by the cost accounting standards, but by covered by primes and subs and small businesses and commercial item suppliers. My brief analogy is it's going from a DOD rule that required drivers of 2010 or late model cars driving in Virginia to now covering all drivers in all models in all states, including those who ride in carpools. Extensive expansion of the rule. So what do contractors have to do? Two things primarily. They have to make sure that they have the systems in place to identify and track all parts, because without looking at all, you don't know which ones are counterfeit or non-conforming. And secondly, significant mandatory reporting requirements back to the government. And the time frames differ and the scope of reporting differs depending on what you find.
So when you say all parts, I mean electronic subsystems, switches, whatever it is, there's millions of them. They have knobs and hinges and screws. It sounds like those parts would also be included in this, as well as the innards that people are really worried about in the first place.
Yes, and that's the challenge with scoping in or sweeping in all non-conforming parts, because now you have to, well, theoretically you would have to look at every knob and screw and nut in the system. The reality is you want to look at the sub-assemblies. You could probably look at higher-level activities unless you have some knowledge or reason to be worried, or that nut, bolt, screw is a critical part to the success. I mean, think about rivets on aircraft. You want to make sure that those rivets are to conform to the standards. Those could be critical, flight or safety critical.
Isn't there an argument to be made, though, that by forcing all contractors to abide by the same rule, that industry itself is going to become a better watchdog of this, and then the supply chains are going to improve because everybody has to pay attention to it?
In part, yes, but this puts all of the responsibility and all of the obligations primarily on the prime contractors who are going to have to monitor their own supply chain. this is a legitimate area of concern. No question the government has got way too many non-conforming parts and way too many electronic parts that that have a risk of failure. So, as I said at the beginning, something has to be done. I think there's a way to balance that. I'm just not sure that this rule does that.
We're speaking with Alan Chivotkin. He's Executive Vice President and Counsel of the Professional Services Council. I think we may have talked about this before, but there are commercial standards used by commercial industry for evaluating and judging and somehow mitigating the risk of parts that might be no longer manufactured but are available from secondary and tertiary sources. But the government seems reluctant to use those standards.
Well, they do in part, and manufacturers and suppliers can use those some of those standards. Where the government lacks its own direct standard, they'll often rely on those commercial standards. We see that more. We don't see it in the professional services world, but for the non-conforming parts that have been in the law and regulations for forever, that reliance on those commercial standards can often be a substitute where there is no other government standard.
And tell me, you mentioned that there's a better way to balance this to make sure that these parts do not get into the government supply chain than putting the onus on the contractors. What's that better way? What balance would you like to see?
Well, I haven't tried to rewrite the rule, and we're still looking at the comments we might submit. But this rule, for example, shifts all of the burden of reporting. Today, federal agencies have an obligation to report to a centralized source if they become aware of any non-conforming or electronic parts that are there. This rule eliminates that agency burden and shifts it all to the contractor through a set of mandatory reporting responsibilities. There are inconsistencies in who gets and who has to report, when they have to report, and what they have to report. I think this rule could have done a better job of standardizing and streamlining that. There's no discussion in here about cost of compliance. It will be significant. It will vary by sector. It will vary by the nature of the work, but there's no recognition of that. And the next question is why we have to cover everybody, all small businesses, all commercial items. We've had longstanding rules that look at critical flight or safety parts. And I think there's a way to highlight, if not focus exclusively on that activity. So those are some of the things that we're looking at as we develop our comments on this rule.
I wonder if a rule this broad, if it got adopted, would give sometimes people in the government a greater opportunity for playing gotcha games, because somewhere along the line, somebody's going to be able to find something that wasn't exactly the same as what they got before.
Certainly a policy, certainly a possibility, and with all of the burden shifting to, or significant burden shifting to, contractors for mandatory reporting, it's too easy to play gotcha if you wanted to.
And is there any opportunity for suppliers to have like trusted supplier programs or some kind of system that could be certified on its face as saying, as standing in for the detailed reporting that might otherwise be required under this rule?
That's a possibility. Many vendors, many primes and higher tier subs use trusted supplier programs, and that's a good way to help monitor your supply chain. You find a lot of companies in the conversation around electronic parts doing just that. The challenge, Tom, is, as you well know, that the government also puts a high premium on competition at the supply chain level. And so when you neck down that supply base in order to know what your source of supply, you also have to balance that against the government's desire to have greater competition in the supply chain rather than sole source or limited sourcing in the supply chain. These are tensions in the procurement process that companies have to balance all the time.
Alan Chivotkin is Executive Vice President and Counsel of the Professional Services Council. As always, thank you for your analysis.
Can't think of a better way to start a Monday morning than talking federal procurement with Tom and Emily.